two about, they got a big tent revival going on down in Bristol. C.T. Townsend's down there. They did it all last week. They didn't do it Saturday night, Sunday, but they start back tomorrow for next week. Brother Dwayne's down there. Les is down there. Les and them went down. They all went down and helped set it up. All those churches there support that. They got big time Southern gospel groups singing there. The McCameys were down there one night, I know for a fact. But anyway, you can see the other meetings. They're on Facebook. If you just Facebook up Bristol Tent Revival Tent Meeting, and then you can get it live when it comes on. You know, each night, probably, I'd say 7 o'clock, something like that, probably. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is Jesus talking. If you got a red letter Bible, you can see that. He said, verily, verily, in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. A thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. The good shepherd. I don't know how this thing's going to preach. It might not end up on the front page of the Sword of the Lord magazine, but I'll give you what's in the... There's a lot of analogies in the Bible that, and a lot of titles or phrases used to talk about Jesus or speak of Jesus. We know he's the great physician. Sometimes he's called the captain, the bread of life, the water of life. There's multitudes of names. And then we see another one here. The Bible says that he's the good shepherd, and he gives an analogy between, a hireling shepherd who doesn't own the sheep. He's just being paid to watch the sheep, and obviously he's probably not going to risk his life, and it's only going to go so far. But then, as the good shepherd who owns the sheep and gives his life for the sheep and loves the sheep, cares for the sheep, everything about that. He said, so we see a few points I didn't get back there. Eileen and Daryl wasn't here, and I didn't give the notes, so you just have to write it down as we go along. The very first thing that we look at, we just look at the sheep. I didn't break it down too, it wasn't too complicated, just trying to give myself something to go by. He said, I know my sheep. The Bible uses a lot of references for saved people and lost people too. Wheat and tares. There's a lot of contrast in the Bible about things. One of the things that uses sheep and goats. If y'all know anything about, we're in farm country. If you ever been around sheep and goats, there's a lot of difference between, Stanley and Shelby. They've been farming this past week, so y'all will be right in there, right? I think Wes, their son-in-law, had a goat stuck in the fence, and he went to try to help, and it kicked him in the mouth and chipped his tooth. So Stanley had the goat stuck in the fence. I told him, I said, well, get around on the front side, get your foot on his nose and shove him out the back. You know, Wes came up from behind the sheep, you know, the goat, and not too smart. I'm just saying. But anyway, and so the Bible, you know, talks, the Bible calls the saved, the saints, to save people, the sheep, and the lost people, the goats. And, you know, and there's a difference between sheep and goats. You know, sheep are really innocent people. I'll give you some more contrast. And goats, you know, goats can be kind of contrary things. You know, one year I remember we always go down to Grayson County. We were down there. And when you pull in there, Randy, where we park at the Pennington place, they had these goats. They had an old Billy goat. And they had a bunch of other goats. And you could walk in there in the dark. And if they were up in the woods a little bit, you couldn't see them. But if the wind was coming your way, I mean, you knew that they were. I said, man, that old goat's up there. So one time we came back out and Kyle had the bright idea that he was going to mess around with the Billy goat. Old Billy had them big old long big horns all curled out there, you know. And he starts like messing with it. Well, next thing you know, man, that old goat reared up on his hind legs. Man, he had his horn. Kyle had a tree between him and the goat. He was in there. And I laughed. I said, you better get in the truck, man. Leave that thing alone, man. But, you know, a sheep's not like that. Sheep don't have any mean streak to them there. You know, they're not aggressive, I guess is what the word I'm looking for. And so there's a picture there. That's why sheep are such a good illustration of God's people, really a good illustration. Philippians 2:15, the Bible gives instructions there on how we as Christians should live. And it said this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You got that? Ye shall be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, there you go. We got it right there. Now, the Greek word there, there's kind of ironic. It's not ironic. It's the way God worked it out. The Greek word for harmless means without horn. Without horns. Sheep don't have horns. See, goats got horns. They're going to use them too. Huh? They're going to butt you. They'll butt you. Without horn or without pushing or horning. That's what that word harmless means. And so here we have a picture of God's people, the sheep there. And it means that, you know, that God's people, the true saints, the saved people that are Christ, would rather suffer wrong than do wrong. They would rather suffer wrong than do wrong. You know, sheep, in other words, are not instigators. They don't instigate. They don't cause trouble, you know. And that's really what he's saying right there. So sheep's a good illustration. Sheep are noted for meekness. You never had a sheep growl at you. Show his teeth. Watch out for that sheep, man. You never, huh? You never heard anybody say that, right? I mean, you know, you don't want to go out there in the field and you got one eye on the sheep and making sure he's not going to sneak up behind you and bite you on the heel or something. Doesn't happen, right? They're meek. They're meek animals, which the way, what? The meek shall inherit the earth. The Bible tells us the meek shall inherit the earth, God's people. Now, sheep are clean animals, relatively speaking. Like I said, them goats, man. Whoo, them goats up there. Get out in the woods. I was telling him, Kyle, about you messing with that Billy goat that time. We smell that thing. No, we go up in the, we walk through the woods in the dark. Like I said, he'd be up there. If he was upwind where the wind was blowing up, woo, man. You knew he was out there. But you know, sheep, they like clean pastures, man. They don't like them old rough pastures. They like green, clean pastures. They like pure water. They like clean water. In the scriptures, the wicked are compared to swine. You know, an old pig, man. It's just like you can wash them up, gussy them up, put a bow tie on them. And what are they going to do? They're going to go right back out there and they're going to lay right in the mire. Now, listen, not only do they just go out and get in it, they like laying in it. They lay in it, man. They wallow in the mire. They wallow in the mud and all the other animals have done their business or whatever. They wallow in that. See, what a picture of the lost world. This is how we were when we were lost. Not only did we sin, we liked it. Huh? Listen, if sin wasn't fun, guess what? Nobody'd do it. If sin was spinach, nobody'd do it. Huh? No, nobody would get into it. So, you know, it's got to be fun or enjoyable to some degree. And so, but what happens with the lost world, they get into it, they wallow in it. I mean, it's a great illustration of the lost world. A true child of God, listen, doesn't want to defile his conscience. I'm not saying he ain't going to get a little mud on him every now and then. I'll get to that in a minute. But not loving, wallowing in sin. See, there's people out there say, oh, man, I'm saved, buddy. And they were just wallowing in sin like it's going to. There's no way. There's no way. The nature's different. The nature's not right. Sheep don't do that. It's not in their nature to do it. They wouldn't do it. Like I said, if a sheep falls in the mire, he's not going to stay in it. He might slip and fall. And I think about this. The Bible has a lot of things to say about hypocrisy. And I started thinking about that a lot. I've heard people say, well, you know, Christians are the worst hypocrites. And in a way, they are. They are, but I'm going to tell you why. And I'll tell you why I thought about this. In a sense, Christians are the only hypocrites. They're the only ones that can be hypocrites. In the big sense. I'm not saying lost people don't do hypocritical things, but in the nature sense, in the big sense, they can. See, the Christian's the only one that has the opportunity to be a hypocrite. Hypocrite, it comes from a Greek word that means play acting or wearing a mask, used in a theater. That's what they would say. It wouldn't have been a derogatory term, by the way. So a lost person, an unregenerated person, may say and do hypocritical things, say one thing and do another, but guess what? He's living true to his nature. He's not being a hypocrite. He's being exactly what he is. He lies because he's a liar. He steals because he's a thief. Huh? He cusses because that's what's in his nature. He's not being a hypocrite. He's being exactly true to his nature. But see, the Christian has got two natures. And now we've got a conflict, see? We're the only one that can actually be a hypocrite, because if we say that we're in one, that we're Christ, but we let that old nature rule us, now we're a hypocrite. Now we're a hypocrite. And so I think that a true sheep and a true goat, they're going to live to their natures. That's just the way it is. And then on the other hand, too, not everybody that says they're Christian will say, oh, look at that person, man, they're a Christian. How do you know? Whether they're a Christian and they're living like the world. Well, if they're living like the world, they might not be a Christian. You ever think of that? They may say it. It doesn't mean they are. But I believe this. I believe a true child of God. If they may fall into the mud, so to speak. They may be a hypocrite, but they won't stay there. They won't stay. They just can't. They can't because it's against their nature. The sheep is a useful creature. You know, there's everything about a sheep they use. They use the meat, the fleece by itself. They use the skin. It's a useful creature. And a child of God, a true child of God, guess what? A true child of God is of some use to God, to God's people, to God's kingdom. Prayer, good works, evangelizing the world, counseling, whatever, pointing people to Christ. There's some use. And the wicked in the Bible, the wicked oftentimes are compared to like sometimes like brush or wood, even wood to a certain degree, that's nothing, its only thing it's good for is to be thrown into the fire. In other words, firewood. There's another parable in the Bible, and it talks about a fig tree that doesn't have any figs. And I'm not going to quote the thing because I can't, but I can tell you what the gist of it is. It's what it really comes in saying. What good is a fig tree that doesn't have any figs? Has anybody, and I remember years ago, and Barbara Markham, we were still on the other side, and I remember Miss Markham, they were sitting out there far about like where Paul and Nancy sit. That's about where they sat when we were on the other side. And I said this, and I was preaching, and later on she said, you know, I never thought about this before. Have you ever seen a dining room table? Boy, that's a nice fig dining room table, a fig wood dining room table. You ever seen anything made out of fig wood? Because it isn't worth nothing. If you know any, it's kind of a breaks easy, but no chairs. The only thing that a fig tree is good for, well, maybe shade, making figs. Making figs, that's it. That's the only thing it's good for. The wood's not worth anything other than burn. You could burn it when it dries. You could burn it up. And see, so a child, but a true child of God, they can't be unproductive. The true child of God will be good for something like a sheep. That's why that illustration's used. Another thing we know about sheep, sheep are content creatures. You know that? You always see, isn't it always like a peaceful setting when you see sheep? We don't have a lot of sheep around here. There's some parts of the country they have more of them. But when you see them out, man, listen, they're not like fighting each other. They're not bellering all that much, usually chewing their cud, laying out there. Always get that picture. We read the 23rd Psalm, still water to green pastures, and the sheep just laying there. And here's the thing about it. It's a true thing. Sheep are content wherever the shepherd leads them. They are content no matter what. Whatever pasture he leads, it can be one that don't have too much grass. Guess what? They're not going to put on a strike, walk around protest signs. They're going to make do with where they were led. That's where they're going to stay. They're going to stay right there under the shepherd's care. Whatever pasture the shepherd puts them in. And it's the same with Christ's sheep, content with the pasture that he has placed them in, wherever that may be. Paul said in Philippians 4:11-12, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound." That means he knows how to be down here, not have much, and he knows how to have been in both states. He said, whatever state God's got me in, that's the state that I'm gonna be happy with. This thing's aggravating me tonight here. It's such a finicky thing. If it isn't sitting just right, whatever. So he knows how to be, a content creature. Another thing, sheep are timid creatures. Now, timid are a little bit different than meek in this sense. Sheep fear things that they're afraid. Wolves, they're afraid of wolves. I'd be too if I was a sheep. Any danger that approaches. Now, Christ's sheep, you think, well, we're supposed to be cowards. No, we're not supposed to be cowards, but I'm going to tell you what you should fear. As a child of God, you ought to be afraid of provoking God. That's something that you ought to fear right there. Be afraid of provoking God. We ought to be fearful of temptation. Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, lead us not into temptation. He said, pray about that. Not that God would lead us into temptation. He would lead us into testing. And we might even fear that, because we know in our own strength we can't pass the test, but in his strength we can. But if we trust him, we ought to be fearful of sin. We ought to be afraid of it. Afraid of sin. Man, old Joseph, remember old Joseph in Potiphar's house? Man, Potiphar's wife, she was a floozy. She's trying to get a hold of old Potiphar. You know what he said? He ran. He ran out of there, man. He didn't flirt with the temptation, see? That's what you got to do. You got to run from temptation. That's the thing to do. Afraid. afraid, man, you know, because we think, oh, man, he was real spiritual. He knew his weakness. He knew what he said, man, I'm getting out of Dodge. And he ran away. We ought to be fearful of sin. We ought to flee sin, flee any opportunity, anything that appears like sin, any situation that we might be in a bad way with it. You know, we ought to be away from that, be afraid of it. Listen, the mark of a true sheep in the illustrative sense is the fear of God. A true sheep is a true child of God. A mark of a true child of God is a fear of God. Is a fear of God. That's a reverential, holy respect of God. You know, fearing Him in that way. You know, the lost people go through life basically shaking their fist in the face of God. Just daring God. I'm going to live my life the way... Now, most of them wouldn't say it this way, although some would. Daring God. I'm going to live my life how I want, and God, I just dare you to do anything about it. Now, they might not say it, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're not living in line with God's word, that's what you are saying. You're daring God to do anything about it. Just... And then living their life like they're going to live forever. And living their life like there's not going to be a judgment day. Huh? Living, huh? There's people that's at least claiming that they're sheep living like that. Huh? At least they're claiming it. I don't know whether, like I said, we can't tell sometimes. We can't say they're hypocrites because they may be living true to their nature. We just don't know it. Now, another thing about sheep, they generally like to stay in flocks. Right? Here we are. We're all flocked up. We're flocked up here. Huh? Nice little happy. I mean, that's generally it, man. Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You don't have to tell a sheep that. They all hang around together. It's like sometimes cattle are like that. Sheep, all of them pointing in the same direction. You ever notice that? They're all either going this way or that way. You know, they're all heading the same way. It doesn't matter. I don't know why, but they do. They all go the same way. And so sheep, they generally flock together. But there is one thing about a sheep that we don't want to imitate. Every now and then, there's one of them likes to stray off. Huh? They like to wander off. Huh? Happens with the God's sheep in the human sense as well, right? They like to wander. That's why a shepherd had a staff. One of the things that sounds cruel, one of the things a shepherd would do, if they had a sheep, and every once in a while sheep just get sidetracked, distracted, whatever, and he gets away, and I'll tell you another thing about him in just a minute, which why that doesn't get corrected very easy. But if a shepherd had a sheep that would keep doing that, they would break their leg. They would take the staff and break their leg. Sounds cruel. But you know what? He saved the sheep's life because he keeps getting away. He's going to be away from the shepherd. He's going to be away from the flock. He's going to be easy prey for something. And, oh, boy, what an illustration. Huh? What an illustration. Let me tell you something. Get away from the flock. Get out of church and get out here in the world, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be easy prey for Satan. He's going to get you. Huh? He's going to ruin your testimony. You're going to fall off into the world. You're going to fall off into that. Next thing you know, you're going to be down there with the prodigal son in the pig pen, in the mire with the hogs. Huh? Hoping, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, that's what a great illustration that is. If you get away from the flock, you go ahead and try it. Huh? Quit reading your Bible. Quit praying. I'll tell you what, you quit reading your Bible, quit praying, you're going to fall out of church. You're going to be out of church. That's just the way it is. You're going to be away from the flock. And now, easy pickings. So they like to stray. We don't want to wander away from the shepherd. We don't want to wander away. That's one thing sheeps will do. Sheeps. That's probably... I went to James River. No, I didn't. Sheeps. That's one thing sheep will do. Plural sheep. They'll do that. We see the sheep. Then we see the shepherd. You know, in Scripture, Jesus is called in relation here. He's called the great shepherd, and sometimes he's called the good shepherd. Both are the same. He's the great shepherd because he made the sheep, and he's the good shepherd because he saves the sheep. Those are the two things that would go with that. You know, and the Bible, we already read this. We read through there. He knows his flock, and his flock knows him. I heard old, I shared this with you before, but George Grant. George Grant was one of the wrestlers back in the 50s. There was about three of these guys, but he was the original Gorgeous George. Old pro wrestling. If you watch the old WWF or whatever it is they do on that, the early forerunners of that. These were the early forerunners. And they would all, and so Gorgeous George, his name was George Grant. He wanted to come up with this shtick, you know, something that, so he would dress up in a ballerina outfit. Now you can picture this guy, huh? Big old wrestling guy, had a tutu on, pink, and he had pink leotards and that, and he'd go out there and wrestle, you know, and it was just part of the show. You know, if y'all watch that stuff, it's just a show anyway. Well, Gorgeous George got saved, and George Grant got saved, and, you know, started preaching all over. And Pastor Frank had him. He came here one time, and he preached on some prophecy things. He talked about that. He's the one that said he thought, George Grant said this. He said, I believe when the Lord comes back, it said there's going to be a shout. Now, I don't know if this is true. It's just the way he said it. It sounds good anyway. He said, I believe what he's going to say is sheep. He's going to say sheep. Because he said, now, I don't. This is what he said. This is what he told. He said, over there in that part of the country where they have a lot of sheep and the shepherds, they free range them. And the shepherds would walk around with their staff. He said, sometimes they would get together with all the other shepherds and all the sheep would get mixed up. And see, Jesus said, he said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice and they know and they follow me. And George Grant said, when one of the shepherds got ready to go, he would just start walking with his staff and he would say, sheep, sheep. And he said, all around, just the heads of the sheep that belonged to him would pop up if they were mixed in. And they would all start coming out of there following him along. Just his, because they knew his voice. They heard his voice every time. And that's where I got that from Gorgeous George, formerly Gorgeous George. George, he's probably dead now. He was way on up there when he came. He was probably up in his 80s then. And this is what he said. I know, you know, Jesus knows his flock. He knows them by name. I'll say something about it in a minute, but the sheep know him. And that word means that he knows his flock. It also implies that he loves his sheep. He knows every need that they have. He knows every ache, every pain, every, you know, every individual thing about the sheep. He knows that. He knows with us, he knows the same thing, every need, every ache, every pain, every tear. You know, he knows our works, whether they're good or bad. Like I said, he knows every sheep. He knows every sheep by name, and that with us, it applies as well. And then another thing, every sheep is marked. Every sheep is marked. Ephesians 4:20 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me lay you my very first, you know, I remember when I got saved, people say, well, you know, what's your favorite verse? Everybody had a favorite verse. Mine's changed a little bit, but I still love this verse right here. This was the very first verse that I latched onto and said, hey, I really couldn't stick with it. And it's in Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 13 and 14 says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, and there's a comma there, which is the earnest of our inheritance until, listen, this is what I love, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. But we see there it says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That means that we're sealed. There's a seal. All right, ain't nobody going to break that seal. And it's the inheritance, the down payment of the inheritance. That means I've already gotten a down payment because I'm a child of God, I'm a sheep, on what I'm going to get in heaven. Now, God ain't going to come along. And what I liked about this was a great, great, great eternal security two verses. You can't lose your salvation. It says, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me read it to you exactly. I see, in whom you also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, that's the down payment, earnest money, of our inheritance, which is in heaven. He's not going to save me and then say, oh, look, I'm going to take your inheritance back. Why? Because we're adopted children. And in Jewish custom, You could not disown an adopted child. You could disown your own child, but you can't disown an adopted one. If you adopt a child, he's getting the inheritance, brother. So, I mean, that even ties in with what this had to say. And so I'm going to get my inheritance until when? Until I sin and lose my salvation? No, it said until the redemption of the purchased possession. I've already been bought. I've already been bought with a price. I'm the purchased possession. If you're saved, you're the purchased possession. We're sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is rapture and or death and absent from the body, present with the Lord. How about that? Huh? Man, that's a good verse right there, right? That's what he said. So we've been sealed. You know how I don't know what they do with sheep. I think they put ear tags in them nowadays. I don't know what they did in the old days with cattle. They put a brand on them, cheaper than an ear tag, I guess. We're sealed with that. A down payment. He knows I'm his. He knows I'm his. Another thing, the shepherd seeks his sheep when they have gone astray. When them shepherd, huh? When they've gone astray. Gone out there, he looks for them. They just don't let them go. Now here's the thing about sheep. Sheep is the one animal that cannot find its way back home. An old dog can. A cat can. A horse even can. But a sheep can't. The sheep wanders off, man. He don't know. He don't have that GPS to get him back. He doesn't. He'd never seen a sheep like tracking along on the ground, sniffing his way back to the house. No, they don't do that either. They can't get back. And so the shepherd seeks. He calls. How does he call? Well, by conviction, by the word, by the Holy Spirit, by conscience, circumstance. The prodigal son. You know, the Bible says that he came to himself. That was his conscience. But it was also, his conscience was awakened by the circumstance. What happened? He found himself eating the husk with the swine. He ate what the pigs were eating. He woke up in the pig pen. When he got to that point, see, while he was all partying and whooping it up, he didn't come to his, he said, when he came to himself, he didn't come to his right mind. That didn't happen until the circumstance, directed by God, no doubt. Huh? The money ran out. The party was over. God directed the circumstance. And when the circumstance got bad enough, you know what? That conviction, that conscience woke up. And he said, you know what? I was so much better off when I was back with my father. Said he came to himself. See, so this is how God, he calls us that way. He speaks to our heart. He uses circumstance. The shepherd guides. He governs his sheep. Once again, the word, the Holy Spirit. I said this morning, I was preaching about identity crisis and the world suffering from an identity crisis. And that it's doing what the Bible says and that every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. Man has set his own boundaries. If we don't go by the Word of God, what is our value system guided by? What sets the boundaries in our life? What we think? What the world says is the boundaries. Is there any boundaries in the world today? Not hardly, right? So, the Word of God sets the boundaries and limits the sheep's life. There's a restriction there. Sets it. And think in the days when they didn't have, in Jesus' day, there wasn't fencing. I mean, they would put them in a thing at night, but there was free range on the pastures, but the shepherd was there, and they'd hear his voice, and they would stay within the sound of his voice. He would speak to them, call to them. They would stay that. He set the boundaries. They wouldn't go any farther than where he allowed them to go. It's the same way with Christ. Now, the third thing, real quick, I give you this. Christ is the best shepherd. He's the best. He's better in respect to his glory, his person, better than the hireling shepherd, better than any other shepherd, as a matter of fact. He's better in the sense that he cleanses and purifies his flock. He washes us in his own blood. He removes every spot. He opens his heart. He opens the heart of his sheep. Brother Ron preached on Lydia, you know, she wasn't the only one in the Bible, but that was the illustration he used. That her heart was opened as she heard the word. The Emmaus Road disciples, it said, did not our heart burn within us? Well, God did that. He opened up the heart there. He prays. He opens the heart of his sheep. He prays for his sheep. John 17:9 tells us that. And I started thinking about it. How often does Jesus pray for his sheep? Always. Always. Not once a day, always. He all in prayer. He knows every sheep by name. He knows and he prays for everyone by name. He prays that we won't wander. He prays that we won't faint. He's a better shepherd because he loves the sheep. He loves the sheep because they are his sheep, not a hireling. And then he died for the sheep. He died for the sheep. And then he places his sheep in the best pasture. Huh? We got the best pasture yet to come, right? We're gonna be put out to pasture in a good way. Huh? But it's still good here, right? He sets an example for his sheep. We've got Christ's life. Do you know the shepherd? Do you hear his voice? Here's a big one. Do you follow him? That's the key right there. What I say, only the sheep that belonged to the shepherd heard his voice and followed him. Do you hear his voice? Do you follow him? And then does he know you? It says that he knows his sheep. Does he know you? That's the key. Come on up here, Paul. We'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to meet tonight. We pray that our words here encourage us, encourage our hearts, cause us to examine our own lives, Lord, and think about all these words that were spoken tonight. Be thankful, Lord, at what you've done for us. And I would just pray each one here searches their heart, Lord, to be sure that he knows them, Lord, and that they know him. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.